Track 2, News. Hello and welcome to Black Country Talking News. It's Wednesday, the 10th of October 2018, and today in the studio we have Martin and John as the sound engineers, myself, Brian, Margaret and Pav. And Pav will start us off with the first news item.
Maryhill owner Intu faces a possible takeover bid just months after a previous $3.4 billion merger deal collapsed. A consortium including the Peel Group is considering a potential cash offer for Intu, the owner of 18 centres across the UK, including Maryhill. The executive chairman of the Peel Group is its billionaire owner, John Whittaker, who is also deputy chairman at Intu. His Peel Group already owns around 26% share of Intu's. News of the possible bid sent Intu shares soaring up to 30% in early trading on Friday. Intu was the subject of takeover bid by rival Hammerson earlier this year in a deal set to create Britain's biggest property company with $21 billion worth of assets across Europe. The $3.4 billion deal was officially called off in late April after Hammerson, owner of Birmingham's Boring and Grand Central, withdrew a recommendation for shareholders to vote through the acquisition. Next opened its new store at Intu Maryhill in August. At the same time, Intu's share price had slumped by 40% this year, making it a tempting takeover proposition in an announcement after the close of trading on Thursday. Peel Group confirmed it had formed a consortium along with the Saudi conglomerate Olean Group and Canadian asset management company Brookfield. A statement said, "The consortium's consideration of the possible offer is at a preliminary and exploratory stage, and no approach has been made to the board of Intu." Intu said it had not received an approach from the consortium, but added, "The board has formed an independent committee comprising all directors of Intu other than John Whittaker, who is connected to the consortium. Firms such as JD Sports and River Island have doubled the size of their stores at Maryhill, while Primark is to expand into the centre's former BHS and extend its store at Maryhill by more than 70% to 60,000 square foot. At 1.7 million square foot, Intu Maryhill is already classed as a major super regional shopping and leisure destination, attracting 21 million visitors a year."
Controversial plans to expand a council depot look set to be approved after the scheme was scaled down, following a backlash from neighbours. Residents protested against the scheme to build a new car park and offices at Lister Road, Dudley, while MP Ian Austin called for it to be scrapped. The plan has now been tweaked to ensure playing fields due to be ripped up will not be touched, following pressure from Sport England. Planning officials have recommended it for approval ahead of a meeting this week. The expansion will still take up land next to the depot. The plans for Dudley Council's Lister Road depot include a gritter storage canopy, vehicle spray booth and vehicle storage unit. The depot, which dates back to 1938, houses the council's waste services staff, gritting trucks and pothole teams. Michael Gove, the Secretary of State for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, visited the facility in April, and irate residents said the expansion will increase traffic, noise and pollution. However, Dudley Council planning officials say the proposals will not now have a greater impact as first feared. Nearly 350 council staff will be based at the depot as part of plans to centralise operations in the town. A report due to go to councillors said the proposed office development now has been reduced in scale, is considered appropriate as effectively is ancillary to the operation of the depot. The depot itself forms part of a wide employment designation, and the buildings which are proposed are acceptable in principle.
The Dudley Borough's main tip could now be expanded, council bosses have revealed, after many attempts to find a new site. Environmental boss Khurshid Ahmed said he would consider keeping the existing tip in Stourbridge open, but make it bigger. Plans to sell the Stourbridge site and open a new tip at Brierley Hill led to outrage among residents and councillors amid claims it would have led to gridlock on the roads. Councillor Ahmed said all options remained on the table, but suggested bosses could now favour an expansion of the existing Birmingham Street site. Both Labour and Conservative-controlled councils have faced a headache about how to solve the borough's need for a bigger tip. When the Tories were in control, they scrapped Labour's plan to move to the Lays depot in Brierley Hill, insisting it would create traffic chaos. Now Labour is back in power in Dudley, the plan will have to be looked at again. Councillor Ahmed said, "There are a few options available at the moment. We need to explore what is already on the cards as well as expanding at Stourbridge. We are looking at the financial issues of shifting it. We also want to make it easily accessible, so we need to look at the impact that would have." Last time Labour was in control of the council, chiefs wanted to sell off the Birmingham Street tip in Stourbridge and make the Lays depot the central base for waste disposal. The plan was later ditched by the Tories, who vowed to review sites.
Work on a delayed hospital will restart later this month, after the crisis hit project was bailed out by the government. It has been announced the Midland Metropolitan Hospital has stood abandoned in Smethwick since the collapse of construction giant Carillion. In January, and the £475 million facility will open at least 3 years late. Balfour Beatty has been brought in to finish the job. The hospital, which is around two-thirds built on Grove Lane, was rescued after the government agreed to put up the money to finish construction. Part of the work will have to be redone, as the site has deteriorated after being left to the elements for the best part of a year. Toby Lewis, Chief Executive of the Sandwell and West Birmingham NHS Trust, which will run the hospital, said, "We are delighted to enter this partnership with Balfour Beatty to take the important next steps in completing the Midland Met. It has been sad to see the building standing paused for the last 9 months, and it is so great news that work will shortly restart. We are investing in our existing buildings for the interim period, but there's no doubt that a new single acute and emergency hospital in Smethwick is what the local NHS needs to provide the very best care. It also releases money to invest in primary care and mental health services." Thomas Edgecombe, Balfour Beatty's North and Midlands Managing Director, said, "We are delighted to be able to support the Trust on this key hospital project, which is vital for the local residents and the wider community."
Defiant returning Dudley Council leader Pete Lowe has vowed to fight tooth and nail to stop spiralling cuts in government funding he fears will hit £100 million by 2020. The Labour councillor has made the battle against austerity his key priority, while also revealing plans are now in place to review proposals for a controversial Cosley Travellers site in Budden Road. The Conservatives were ousted by just one vote, as former Conservative councillor Heather Rogers shifted to Labour, telling the Crunch Council meeting on Wednesday that the Tory leadership had allowed a culture of bullying, victimisation and harassing. Councillor Lowe said he was writing to the government to request a fair deal when the local government funding settlement is announced later this year. And with the council makeup still on a knife edge, he called on Tory councillors to support their Labour colleagues for the greater good. He said, "We will need to work as 72 councillors together. We recognise that the financial issues of this borough will not change because of a change of leader." Councillor Lowe added, "We have been cut by £76 million since 2010, and it will be £100 million by 2020. We are calling for a proper review of local authority funding that addresses the needs of the community."
Police are encouraging residents in Hagley to take photographs of badly parked cars outside schools as part of a new scheme named Operation Lollipop. Safer Neighbourhood team across Bromsgrove, including Hagley, set up a dedicated email address to receive the photographs to crack down on inconsiderate road users. Inspector Gareth Keat of West Mercia Police said, "We are asking members of the public to take a photo and send it to us if they see vehicles parked in a dangerous or inconsiderate manner which could pose a risk to children, vulnerable people or other road users." West Mercia Police is committed to trying to make sure vulnerable road users and local communities feel safe, and we'd appreciate your help with this. With new technology, there are several different ways of tackling this type of offending. Digital images and footage provide good evidence when resolving parking incidents on roads outside schools. This kind of evidence is strongest when supported by details of the time, date and exact location, the street, the town, the postcode, of the vehicle when the photograph was taken. Members of the public can send their digital photos of dangerous or inconsiderate parking outside schools to operationlollipop@westmercia.pnn.police.uk. I should explain that Operation Lollipop and West Mercia are all one word. Officers will then investigate and contact the registered keeper to take appropriate action.
A man's life was saved after two bleeds on the brain were discovered during a trip to the opticians. Michael Hannon of Aldridge is a diabetic and experienced a change in his vision, which he described as a spider's web coming across his eyes. The 67-year-old called the NHS on 111 and was rushed to New Cross Hospital after the optometrist noticed his peripheral vision had decreased and a leakage of blood in the eye was spotted during an eye test at Specsavers on the High Street in Brownhills. A scan at the Wolverhampton Hospital revealed two bleeds on the brain, a type of stroke. He underwent an operation. Mr. Hannah said, "I'd been taking aspirin, so I was told I would need to wait at least 5 days until it was out of my system before they could operate. I was booked in to have the first operation on the following Tuesday, which involved putting four holes in my head to fit two drains. It was 3.5 hours before I came out of recovery, and I stayed in hospital until Friday. I've recovered extremely well and I feel much better than I did. I am hugely grateful to Specsavers for being able to see me at short notice and for the way in which they handled everything. If it wasn't for their prompt action, the outcome could have been very different." Graduate optometrist Anu Parai said, "We're delighted to hear that Mr. Hannon's operation was a success and he's back at home now. We encourage everyone to have their eyes tested at least every 2 years. But as Mr. Hannon's case illustrates, if you notice a problem with your eyes or vision, you should make an appointment immediately."
2 out of every 5 paramedics in the West Midlands say they have been attacked in the last year, according to a shock new report. Staff at West Midlands Ambulance Service, WMAS, posted the highest figure of any trust in the country when asked if they had experienced physical violence from patients, relatives or the public in the last 12 months. An NHS review of ambulance trusts by Lord Carter of Coles said that the actual percentage of assaults could be far higher, as assaults against staff are no longer recorded nationally since NHS Protect was abolished. The service said there had been 171 attacks on staff since April. Concerns over the high number of attacks have led to the launch of a new pilot scheme, which will see 465 ambulances and their paramedics equipped with body cameras, with the potential for a full rollout to all paramedics and other priority areas. The report adds the use of this technology will help protect staff. Service spokesman Murray McGregor said, "The Trust works hard to encourage staff to report violence because it is not acceptable." The chief executive has been clear that he will push for prosecution against anyone who attacks staff who are doing their best to help the public. Research has shown that staff who experience violence in the workplace are 4 times more likely to take sick leave than those experiencing any other type of work injury.
Super chuffed, fantastic and delighted. Just some of the words used to describe the news that Beatty's will stay open. Famous faces, MPs and business chiefs joined the people all over the Black Country and further afield to celebrate the welcome announcement. Soul Queen Beverly Knight was among the first to react after months of uncertainty over the future of the landmark store in Wolverhampton ended. The Wolverhampton-born singer, who starred at the store's Christmas gala in 2006, said, "I am beyond chuffed. I'm super chuffed. Over the moon." All those staff who now have secure futures and all Wolverhampton and Black Country folk who fought so hard to keep our icon open can rejoice. Its future was plunged into doubt following the collapse of owner House of Fraser, then the subsequent takeover by Mr. Ashley. But following months of talks between Mr. Ashley's team and the building landlords, the store's future was secured. It will now be one of the dozens of House of Fraser stores which will be turned into Harrods of the High Street under his plan. The lower ground floor of the shop is being stocked with goods from Sports Direct, Mr. Ashley's sports company. City Council leader Roger Lawrence said, "We're delighted the new owners of Beatties have decided to keep the store open. It is fantastic news for our city centre. As a council, we, along with many others in the city, have been campaigning hard for this outcome. It will come as a big relief to the staff, who can now look positively to the future." The landmark Beatties store has been part of the fabric of the city for 131 years. Local people have very deep historical and emotional bonds to the store. Indeed, generations of Wolfrunians have shopped there. The Wolverhampton North East MP Emma Reynolds said, "This is fantastic news for Wolverhampton and everybody who works at Beatties." And Wolverhampton South East MP Pat McFadden also added, "This is great news for Wolverhampton, both in terms of jobs and city identity. Beatties is an iconic store with a long history. The store has served generations of customers. It's wonderful for the employees and the city of Wolverhampton and for the confidence of the retail landscape."
Sir Billy Connolly has put himself forward to become a stem cell research guinea pig as part of efforts to find a cure for Parkinson's disease. The comedian said he had spoken to researchers at Harvard University about aiding them in a stem cell study. The Glasgow-born comedian was diagnosed with the illness 5 years ago. He says he has been in touch with scientists at Harvard University in Massachusetts, US, whose Stem Cell Institute is a key leader in research into Parkinson's. Sir Billy said the disease is the first thing he thinks about every day. He added, "The thing that I find hardest is coming to grips with the fact that it's never going to go away. I've spoken to guys working on it at Harvard."
The future is looking bright for an iconic church where more than 130 people turned out to hear how the town landmark will be preserved for generations to come. The Reverend James Treasure wants to encourage more people through the doors of St Thomas and St Luke in Dudley, known as Top Church. He is also looking to ensure the church can play a more active role in the community by making it more accessible to people in the town. The Diocese of Worcester has been awarded a grant to transform the building into a resourcing church. It will offer a primarily contemporary style of worship, which has been proven to attract new people to faith. Around £500,000 will be spent altering the inside of the building to make it more welcoming and flexible, while the rest of the grant will be used to recruit staff for mission and community work. On Sunday, Reverend Treasure hosted the second of two events to share his vision for the future and encourage people to get involved in the project. "It went very well. We had far more people than we had anticipated. It was really positive and we had lots of good feedback. It shows there is real interest out there and people are intrigued by what we're doing and the plans for making it a vibrant place of Christian worship and saving it for the next 200 years. There are also plans to recruit a youth and children's minister as well as a community minister as part of a team of staff and clergy who will work together to develop the resourcing church." Speaking about Sunday's event on Twitter, Archdeacon of Dudley Nicky Groark said, "It's very exciting to see. The plans for the church include making it a more welcoming place. There'll be a play area for children and a space where informal meetings can be held. The official launch of the church is expected to take place in September 2019. And that's the end of the news this week, so we'll make way for the next item. And it's goodbye from Brian.
Goodbye from Pav.
And goodbye from Margaret.